Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Hello. All right, Devin, what's the quote for us today?
And then there's the most dangerous risk of all. The risk of spending your life not doing what you want on the bet that you can buy yourself the freedom to do it later.
Oh man, that is a good one. That's a really good one. That's got to be the mantra of like 90% of, maybe probably more than that, of people who make things. You know, like, I really like making this thing, but I don't think it can support me, so I'm just going to keep on doing this other thing that I know that can support me, and then I'll just do this one thing on the side. And
right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to read the end of it one more time. Right. The risk of spending your life not doing what you want on the bet that you can buy yourself the freedom to do it later. Now, there's a side of that that's fair. And obviously not everyone can just make things or travel or be an Instagram or YouTuber. A lot of people have to do a lot of hard work to get their moment to relax. And there's something positive to be said for that. And we need those people out there doing those jobs for sure. But then there's also someone who's solely doing something for money or sits in an office and they could maybe do something else. Right. That there definitely should be a change.
Yeah, and I was just talking about this kind of thing with my buddy Sean on the way home. So I just drove back from sailing this evening. It's Wednesday evening, and I can go into that a little bit more. But we were just talking about Jesse Allison from Mountain Prevail Knives, and Jesse is a knife maker. He was a full-time knife maker until a couple months ago, and he. I think he decided to put it on the side for a little bit I think he just kind of, and I don't know this 100%. I'm kind of telling you guys my opinion. And if you, Jesse, if you're listening and I'm wrong, feel free to correct me and also feel free to join us on the podcast. But, he kind of decided that, I don't know if he got like sick of just grinding knives all day long or whatnot, but he decided to put away and go back to like doing a normal day job that he can do. And I think also, you know, make knives on the side. He's not giving it up completely from what I've heard and what I've talked to him about a little bit, but I think he just kind of got burnt out on being 100% a maker and doing that. And I think that's that delicate balance that some people can do what they love and be makers full time and do it. But, you know, if you go down that road, you're balancing on the fence of changing what you love to do into what you have to do to make money. And that can be a dangerous balance.
Yeah.
I also think, there are plenty of us who are doing the job or doing the thing that keeps us afloat because we fear the uncertainty of diving into something else head first that we would love to do full time. But there's that challenge of, if I do this, am I going to be able to make enough money? Am I going to be able to pay my bills and pay off my school loans and feed my family and be comfortable? You know,
so. I mean, that's why, I mean, you can make the change whenever, or you can try, but do that stuff in your teens and 20s. You can really take the chances if you can, or if you want, maybe you don't want to, but that's the time to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Before you have a family and school loans and a rent and insurance and a car and all these obligations, all these things to pay.
It's hard to be Jack Kerouac with a family, you know?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
or then you are a piece of shit.
Right. Like, exactly. Yeah.
Then it's a whole nother thing.
Do my thing. Right. Yeah. And you know, saying that, you know, that perspective, of course, there's like, I would not give up my family and my life and my education to be able to go back and live more freely. But if I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. I was gonna say, if I went back, maybe I would do more things before I, you know, before I decided to stop putting off my school loans and start paying for them. Maybe right. I'd put them off for another year or two and go travel more with my wife or something. But we did some stuff like that, you know, so.
Right. And I think what I wanted to get to was, especially now, and we've all been away from everyone so long, to constantly make those plans if you can. Because the older right. I get, I'm still young, but I'm in my 30s now, and you realize that all these little things, like your camping trip this weekend, and I'm taking my buddy out. I had to work on his bachelor party.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that, you know, you have to, and sometimes you do have to do it, and you just say, I can't go.
Right.
But now, tomorrow, I'm taking him, I'm picking him up, and we're going to go do some crazy stuff. And I've planned it all out, and it feels really good just to have even if you can get away for a day or two, it's nice to make those plans. And at first sometimes they seem a little silly. You're like, I don't know, should we do this? Should we spend this money? But
right, exactly.
If you can plan it now and then just be really excited a couple months down the road. There's also one more thing, talking about planning and making things happen and having these little moments, even if you can't right have these huge things and change your life, but if you can plan these small fun trips and things. There was a switch when I met my wife. I decided I really liked her and wanted her to stick around. So in all my relationships before that, there's a lot of time when you go, oh, I thought about getting you this, or I looked at that and I thought we should have done that, but I didn't. You know, that's how it goes a lot of times. Just like, oh, I almost picked you up this thing the other day, or I saw this thing I thought you'd like. And I just decided, if I think of it, I'm going to do it. Nice. So that's the switch. Anytime I said, oh, there's a flower guy on the side of the road, or I would love to go see this, or wouldn't it be nice if I just bought something for her now? I just made a fact, and then every time I thought of that, then I thought of me saying, if you think it would be nice, do it.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of it's almost such a simple thing, but it really helped me. I mean, well, I'm married to her now, so it helped me that way. So I guess it worked, but it just helped me plan some more things that, you know, you just kind of put it off. And put it off, right. And nothing happens, and then you have a summer without any vacations. You go, wow, we didn't really do anything, and
right,
man, life's short. So if you know, obviously don't do it all the time, you're not going to say like, oh man, I'd love to take off right now and go to the casino and gamble $1,000. Don't do it. If you think of that, don't do it. But if it's those small things, and you can use that any time in life. But if you're dating a gal you really like, if you think of it, just do it. Don't go home and say, oh, there was this really great thing you would have loved. Right. I didn't get it for you. Or there was this great music festival I wish we would have gone to. Just do it. If you think of it, do it. If you want them to stick around.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's the cost to you, and what's the effect of it over the long run, or like what's your life worth to you? You know, like how long do we have on this planet? How many experiences can you have like that? How often do you have the ability to do something like that? If you do have the ability, then go ahead and do it. And also another trick is that if you are thinking something like that, if you see something that you think that your wife or girlfriend or someone would like, or the other thing, this is a hint for all of you gentlemen out there. If your wife says something about something she likes, or your girlfriend, put that in your mind, put a little checkbox, doink, got that checked off for the next, like, you know, heck, next thing, next birthday or Christmas or anniversary, you know, because just putting that in the bank, being like, I know that this is the one thing that you've talked about or you said, like, you know, it goes a long way. But if you start, I like that. Yeah, that's some good advice right there, brother. If you think about it, just go ahead and do it. Cause why not? You know?
Yeah. Right. My really good buddy, Steve, who actually I'm taking out tomorrow and I thought, wouldn't it be cool since I missed it? I just pick him up in the morning.
Yeah.
We go somewhere. We're going to go to a couple places, have a lot of adult fun, and then I'll bring him back the next day. I was like, if we can get that to work, I think that would just be great. And now it's awesome. Here and I'm going tomorrow and I'm really excited. But, that same guy, I think I gave him that advice when he was dating his soon to be wife. Nice. next month he's getting married. And I remember him talking about relationship stuff and he's talking about, and I was like 6 months ahead of him. So, the guy in the 1 year relationships looks like a pro compared to the 6 month guy, you know,
let me drop some advice on you.
I'm
there,
old
buddy.
And wise. I've been dating for a year. You know?
Yeah. Right.
But that's what I told him. And then I think he called me back a month later. He's like, I'm doing that, man. It's great. She loves it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, exactly. if I think that second that thing snaps in your head, just do it.
Yep. Yeah. Man, that's, like I said, that's good advice I think for everyone in general, you know, like when something, a friend of mine, who I used to work with always said that, like, if the Lord lays something on your mind, it's there for a reason. Right. Mm. So like she was very, very religious and, you know, I'm religious as well. I'm a Christian. And so like, when I think about those things, like there's a reason why these things come on you and you think about it, right? Mm. Like someone has put that in your mind, something depending on what you believe in, there's a reason why these things are popping in your mind, whether that's just you as a human and humanity and you're thinking about it and why not do it? Or someone's like laying this idea on your mind. Like she would give me a call occasionally and be like, I was just thinking about you. And so I decided to call, you know, like,
that's really
and there were
nice.
A few of those times, right. A few times where like I needed that call. Like I appreciate it. You know, like, yeah, I did have a stressful day. Why not talk to someone who I enjoy, you know, like, you know, who I'm like-minded with. And, you know, so yeah, when that happens, like if something's laid on your mind for a reason,
right.
Like, grasp that reason, go ahead and take it, you know?
Right. No matter what you believe, it could be a spiritual reason. It could be your body, just your consciousness trying to connect to you somehow. Yeah. It's kind of like weird. Like when people have, it's like dreaming sometimes. Sometimes there's nothing to it, but sometimes it's your body trying to tell you certain things, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree as well. And I think there's, like, I'm definitely very open-minded when it comes to spirituality. So, like, something that I've always been aware of, and I don't know, this is something I read early on, maybe in high school or something, about nature and, like, not necessarily spirit animals, but just, like, communication and different things, different nature, different creatures that have an awareness of what's around them. And I've always been fond of crows. I've always loved crows and I've read a lot about crows. It's like, for some reason they've kind of talked to me, not literally talked to me, but like something about them that's always got me close to them. And I have a crow feather tattoo. If you guys seen the videos, you know, you can see that normally pretty often on my arm. And there have been multiple times where I have like been driving or walking somewhere and I'll see a bunch of crows doing something, or they'll all be perched in a weird way and something, and I'll like either avoid that path or I'll go down that path, or, you know, like, and there have been weird times where I've had these kind of interactions specifically with crows, but also other times when I've just had like a feeling about something and I'm like, maybe I'll not go this way, you know, or maybe I'll detour somewhere, or maybe I'll do something that I wasn't going to do because like there's a feeling. Or like one specific story, there was one time I was walking. I went to school at Maryland Institute College of Art, which is in Baltimore City. And all of Baltimore City is dangerous if you're not smart about the way you move around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our area where the Maryland Institute College of Art is, it's not a very dangerous area in general. But most of the way Baltimore City is leaned up is that there are these really, you know, upper middle class areas that are just one block away from relative ghettos, you know, like these definitely low income areas.
I mean, that's the issue with such a small town.
Yeah, exactly. And so there were times, you know, we had this kind of talks in the beginning when we were freshmen, you know, security people come in and be like, make sure if you're walking around at night, you're smart about it. Don't walk around like a victim. Walk around like someone who knows they're supposed to be there. Your head up, you have confidence, like don't make yourself look like a victim. And then also, if you're walking around, just don't walk around at night, you know, call a shuttle. The school has shuttles and stuff. But I was just walking, you know, in the evening. It wasn't, it might have been 6 or 7 o'clock or something. So it was dusk, and walking down one road, and I was going to cut down an alley to cut between two roads to go to where my classes were, this one campus building. And I like went to turn down the alley. And as I was turning, I looked up, and there were two crows sitting on, like, one was right perched on the end of the building, and one was on like a telephone wire that's like half out in the middle of the street. And they both were like sitting there, like real fairly still, both like looking at me. And I kind of looked up and saw them. And then the one kind of turned its head and was like looking at me weird. And then it turned around and pooped right in the road, just like right down. Like, you know, this was probably 30 or 40 feet in front of me, and just like pooped. And I was like, maybe I won't go down that alley. And I just turned and stayed on the main street that I was on. And like, there was nothing I could see down the alley, but who knows, you know, like if I have a feeling and there's something, I'm thinking something, why not just like stay the course that I know is safe, and like, don't take the shortcut and be right in tune, you know, don't be naive. And you know, think back like, oh, if I would have just followed my intuition, or if I would have just done this one thing that I thought about, all these things would have changed, you know?
Yeah, it's
I don't know. Maybe that's more than what most people would take into account for, you know, being aware of their surroundings. But
I do believe you have to listen to, you can call it your gut or your body or whatever something is trying to tell you. You definitely got to, you know, it's a weird thing. I have two different ways to get your house dust, and we shoot at Dustin's house in the basement, and there's a split. And I take either one depending on how I feel.
Right.
I don't know what it is, and I don't. And usually I take one way because I just like the drive better. But which is weird. I like one way's drive better, but 2 out of 10 times I'll go the opposite way.
Hmm.
Just because I think they're about the same time, but I just, it's that thing. Yeah. Sometimes you feel it, and I sit there. Right. I feel it. I go, I'm gonna go this way.
Right.
You know, it could be nothing, but
be something.
And the funny thing is, okay, I'm just thinking this now. I can go straight through the four-way stop, or I can take a left, and I usually take the left.
Okay.
And when
this
I
is
got,
after, is this the main four-way that's like after, when you come out of your driveway, you make a right and you go down
for
a while?
Yeah, that's the one, right.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So I can take a left and go across the bridge over the highway.
Yep.
Or I can go straight and go under the highway, right?
Right, yep.
About a half mile from that four-way split is where I got hit by the tractor.
Going straight or turning left?
Turning left.
Ah.
And that's the way I like to go. Now, it worked out for two reasons. Insurance paid out enough for me to put a down payment on my truck.
Right.
But depending me taking that time to sit there, and I don't take, you know, it's just a not really conscious thing always.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe me sitting there longer either allowed me to hit him, or I could have gone by if I wouldn't have made the decision. It's a weird thing, because if I would have waited a little bit longer, I would have killed him, or I would have swerved out of the way, and on the other side of the road is a hill and trees.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, it's weird things like that. And that's what makes you think, like, man, if I didn't go that way, and I decided to take the left turn that time, I mean, everyone ended up okay, but what pushed me that way at the time? You know, maybe nothing, but maybe something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And the fact that you make that decision at the turn, you know, maybe if you would just always, like you said, if you always go the one way, you know, then maybe you would have just turned left a little earlier, and or maybe you would have been past him, or maybe, you know, who knows? Like, there's like, exactly. I think that's, what is that? That kind of reminds me of the theory of like the butterfly effect, you know, change one thing, then everything else changes.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like you make a decision that takes you, you know, 10 seconds longer or something. And who knows?
Which is But which is equally cruel on the other side when unfortunate things do happen.
Right.
Yeah. When terrible, terrible things happen like that, or a tree falls on a car, you know, or a deer hits something, or someone gets in a car crash and you go, man, I wish I was going to take that car today. And it's brutal. So I don't know. The signs can go either way, I guess.
Right. Exactly. And who knows, you know, who knows what's destiny or what's, you know, meant to be or whatnot, but
yeah. So to bring it all the way around, do things while you're still alive, do the things when you think of them, because unfortunate timing could be right around the corner. And also take pause to those feelings. Just consider them for a second. If you don't tell anyone, you're not crazy. Right.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, now we have told everyone that we consider animals.
Look for signs. And yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's like, you know, probably, you know, I'd say 75% of our listeners are like, oh, yeah, me too. And the other 25 are like, you guys are freaking nuts. You know, like, I feel like majority of people probably have some type of that intuition that they, I mean, that's why there's like, you know, the sixth sense and women's intuition and all those things are, you know, that's what it is. Like, people have those feelings.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I was, thinking about that kind of like happenstance. I was sailing this evening and we actually, there's a pretty bad thunderstorm, like a severe thunderstorm warning for the area that we sail in, and right around 7 o'clock, which is right, like we usually start our races right around 6:30, so it would have been right in the heat of the battle. Like we'd start a race, usually our races last about an hour and a half or so. Earlier today we're kind of talking. I was talking with my other crew members, and my brother Drew is our race, what is it called? He's part of the race committee. I think he's race committee chairman. So he ends up, he calls like when we cancel a race, or he'll call out which races we do. So we have a bunch of marks in the course and then a bunch of different race setups that are like, you know, race A is from this mark to this mark to this mark. Race B is from this mark to this mark to this mark. You know, depending on the wind direction on the evening and how heavy it is, we do different races. So we call that. So at about maybe 1:30 or 2 o'clock, we're talking about it within our crew and talking about what we thought we should do. And by 3 o'clock, Drew had called the main committee boat that does our races and cancel the race for the evening, because it was just is a big severe storm supposed to be right in the middle of a race. So we decided to go against, to not sail.
Yeah.
And like, I think that, you know, he took into account a bunch of different things. There are different people who come from different distances to get to where we sail. Mm-hmm. And if you wait too long to cancel a race, then they've come all this way for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
We all ended up going down anyway. Our whole crew ended up meeting down, and we worked on the boat a little bit and hung out, and then we went out and sailed around just to get our buddy Sean, get him some more time on the helm. Unfortunately, the wind had kind of died after the storm passed by, and we were only going like 1.5 or 2 knots. I think we went almost 3 knots at one point, so a couple miles an hour, but not very fast, but still, you know, time on the helm. So we went out and sailed around a little bit, and I drove him home afterward, because we live up here. We live close together, and we both sail down. You know, it makes sense that we carpool each week and we alternate who drives. And I drove home. On the way home, kind of some of these country back roads, I had to avoid one big branch in the middle of the road, dropped him off at home. And then on my way back to my house, which is about 10 minutes from his house, there was another big branch, actually, or like a tree that had fallen about halfway across the road. And I was maybe 20 seconds or so from going around that tree at the same time another car was coming. Fortunately, it was like a little bit ahead, so it passed me by, and it was kind of going really slow, which I thought was a little odd because it wasn't really raining too much at this time. But then, you know, 50 yards down the road, there was a tree that was halfway down across the road, so I had to go all the way to the other side of the road to get by it. And at the same time, I was like, you know, kind of back and forth messaging you to let you know that I was on my way home, because we're recording the podcast. And then maybe 3 minutes from my house, there was a tree down completely across the road, like a big tree. Just, you know, I was coming down a hill, and actually someone had put a flare in the middle of the road, maybe 10 feet or so up the road from the tree. So I noticed there's this like red, and I actually thought like, oh man, there's someone who like got in an accident. You know, maybe this is a, like there's something down here. So I kind of started to slow down, and then I noticed it was just like a full tree. It was really foggy out. So it was just like just this giant silhouette of a tree and then fog behind it. There was another car that was turning around on the other side. So it was like backlit. It's all dramatic. I was like, damn it. So I had to like, you know, 3-point turn in the middle of the road, my pickup truck, drive back up. Fortunately, there's another way around that didn't take too long. So, but yeah, it's just like, man, so many things, you know, it took my time around, and then there were like cars. It's kind of foggy and a little rainy and dark. And so everyone's like using their high beams, and then you got it on and off, and you're waiting for people to turn off their high beams as they're coming the other way. And it's the road shiny. And, it was just like stressful getting home, but I got home safely, and who knows, like all these things add up to like, you know, maybe if that tree wasn't down, who knows, I go one way and maybe I get an accident or something.
Or, so, you know, if the wind was better, you guys would have sailed quicker and came in quicker, and then you would have hit one of those three downed trees on your way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It would have fallen on the truck or something. Right. Yeah, no, exactly.
And actually, I should have started. Well, we're doing good so far, but my power has gone flickered in and out multiple times, not during the podcast, but right before it started. So if I disappear, Dust, you'll know why. I'll try to link back up if the internet goes down. But you'll just gotta keep on trucking forward, and yeah, I'll try to link back up.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have a very, hit or miss situation over there with your power. You guys lose power a lot.
Yeah. We're in a really bad spot. We lose a bunch, like 5 to 10 times a year.
Dang. Yeah, it's tough.
And a lot of flickering, too. That's why I actually I bought a backup battery for my computer, because a few times I had been editing and lost work because
it just flickered. Goes out.
Yeah, and it's just not good for your computer and for your storage, anything. And so, and what I really I need to figure out is to plug in the internet modem and stuff, so it doesn't go down every time it flickers, and then it could stay up even if, it could just stay up, and I could have the battery backup on it.
Would that run the? Yeah, I guess that would make sense. That would run the modem, and that would run everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It should stay. Everything should stay on, but it's on the other side of the room or house, or I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just buy another one. They're only $120. It's a big old battery, and it's not
right. Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, we're pretty fortunate over here. Like there have been times when our powers have gone out, but I would say only maybe usually if it goes out, it will go out for like a few minutes. You know, it'll go out for like 3 or 4 minutes and then it'll come back on. There have been two times in I think the 6 years or so that we've been here at this location that's actually gone out for a few days.
Yeah.
But we're pretty good here. But yeah, surprised. I was surprised how crazy it was, and I was like, "Dang, it didn't seem that windy down where we were." And actually, in all honesty, it rained, but not. It was a little bit of lightning, but it wasn't like a crazy thunderstorm where we were. So we probably would have been able to sail and race fine. But again,
better safe than sorry.
No, yeah, exactly. Right.
All right, so let's move away from
destiny and fate.
Destiny and fate, and move on to what we can kind of control. Kind of.
Yeah.
Is this knife building competition that we're in?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
That you're in.
Yeah. The Gyoto. It's funny because I always, in my head, it was Gyoto. Gyoto, which is Gyoto, but it's not. It's Gyuto. And then as soon as I saw that, like, I just couldn't say it consistently. Gyuto, or Gyoto, I don't know. I've always heard of Gyoto. So it's a Japanese version of a Western chef's knife. So the Gyoto is a Japanese, you know, it's Japan's version of a Western chef's knife. Right, so like a French style chef's knife. And there are different versions of it. Usually it will have, a fairly tall blade with a rounded tip that rounds down to a point at the bottom, and then the bottom of the knife, the blade edge is slightly curved. So that's kind of the general Gyoto. Now there's different types. There's the K-tip, which is, you know, the basically parallel or tapered knife that then has a cut off that also cuts down toward. So, you know, like a Bowie knife type style where it has that,
right,
that, cut off. So yeah, we're doing, yeah. So we're doing the K-tip, which the reason why I thought about doing that is because originally, so we're part of this knife competition, which,
yeah. Why don't we go back to the start gotcha. Of that?
Okay. So, And you know, we want to talk about this because it's coming out soon. So this podcast is coming on Friday. Next Friday is when all of our videos will come out, June 4th. And you guys can watch all the videos, and you get to vote on who you think whose design you like the best. But I was reached out to on Instagram through Aaron Lee from Ailey Knives. He and Dennis from Tyrell Knife Works came up with this idea of doing a kind of collaboration challenge knife build off. And he just reached out to me and said, like, hey, you know, we're doing this knife build off, you know, where everyone's going to be building K-tip knives or, you know, Gyoto knives.
Yeah, right.
And,
K-tip.
Well, no, that was the thing. He originally mentioned to me that it was like a K-tip knife, which that's what he said. And that's the reason why I had K-tip in my head. But a K-tip is a type of Gyoto. So I think it was like Gyoto. That's the Gyoto knife challenge,
right?
So it's Ailey Knives and Tyrell Knife Works. And I had heard of Ailey through Brian House, his podcast. I heard him mention Ailey Knives a few times on his podcast, where he'll reach out to the community with questions and things, and then people will send in answers. So I've heard him read off answers from Aaron Lee a couple times. So I knew of Ailey Knives. I hadn't heard of Tyrell Knife Works, but you know, it's just an interesting build off, and I was like definitely interested to be part of it. And then as we started to talk more about it, and I realized there are more people, and we're all part of a group now on the app called Slack, which is just kind of like a team group. I knew that Brian House was part of the build off as well. So Housework, his channel. And then I found out that, James Keaton from Redbeard Ops. He'll be part of the challenge as well. We've had him in the podcast. Great guy. And then also Sperber Knives, which is, I can't remember his name. It'll come to me. And then Keaton from Faraway Forge. He's in the challenge. We have the River's Edge or the River's Experience, which is. His first name either. That's okay. I've had a few beers, so it's affecting my memory. Sorry, guys, but I remember everybody's channel.
You know the channels.
Yeah, and then Green Beetle, Steve from Green Beetle, and then Blackbeard Projects. So I think that's everybody. So it's 10 makers all together. So us, Blackbeard Projects, Redbeard Ops, Green Beetle, Housework, Sperber Knives, Ailey Knives, Tyrell Knife Works, Faraway Forge, and the River's Experience. So there's 10 of us together. We'll be posting.
Was that short?
No, that was 10. I was counting out on my fingers. You guys can't see it, but I was making sure.
I was trying to, too. Maybe I missed one.
10, including us.
All right.
But yeah, so we'll be posting on our channel in the next couple of days. We'll post a kind of a teaser video that just like talks about the challenge, and then on next Friday, we'll be posting the our video, and then we'll have a link in the chat for the voting. You can go in and vote for whose video you like the best. I would encourage all of our listeners and all of our followers to watch the videos before you vote, because, you know, I want you guys to have an honest vote. Yeah, you know, I don't want you just to vote for our video because you like ours. But I want everyone to be honest. You know, look at the other ones, look at the other designs, watch the videos, and vote for the one you like the best.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't have to. I mean, watch the videos, but if you like one knife, if you like the picture of one knife over the others, you can choose that too. You don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to see the process.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. What I'm just saying is, I would encourage everyone to look at all the knives before you vote. Don't vote for any one channel just because you like that person. Like, be honest. And it doesn't matter. We're not winning anything. It's just bragging rights. But you know, I can only encourage people to vote for the knife that like that they like the best, because then we'll get an honest an honest vote.
Yeah, and if it, like right, yeah, do that and you know, watch. Do I'm saying you don't have to watch the videos, but it's cool to see all these guys are really good. They've got great videos. Obviously, some of them are very big channels already, and you probably already know about them. But some are smaller and could always use the love. And
absolutely,
So yeah, watch them, and I am really excited to watch all the other ones just because I want to see what they went through. It's like a school project, you know. You finally get in there and you bring it together and be like, oh man, what about that and then how'd you do this?
Right, exactly. Everyone's got the same struggles. Everyone's like, oh, this is so horrible, or blah, 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 this took me so long, or I had to restart this whole part.
And yeah.
Yeah, and you now, can all commiserate together.
Yeah. And now, so we can talk about how we're not done it.
Right, exactly.
And how we have decided, not decided, we have not planned well, and we are crunching now hardcore.
Right.
We're up to now, you've finished the grind, and you've glued up the handle scales.
Yep. So it's handle shaping. That's pretty much. Yeah, it's handle shaping.
Handle
and
shaping.
Then finish sharpening, and then the outro and, you know, our thumbnails and beauty shots, things like that.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll be one more day. Might end up being two more days, but we have some time.
Yeah.
I know that you're editing, so that's a little the crunch is on.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Today's the 26th, and the video comes out on the 4th. So we have some time, but we don't have just till the 4th. We have some deadlines to come before that we need to make sure that we have some stuff in. That way we can all, you know, that way the people who are organizing it aren't waiting for us for the last minute to be able to put up other stuff. So.
But we have been stuffing in shooting dates every late nights. Like, hey, I can come over for 2 hours.
Yeah, right.
This exactly. day, if I can get someone to watch the baby, I can come over. Or I can do this. I've been editing during my daughter's naps because I've been watching her because my wife's at work. And I'm, for those who don't know, sports production. So the Orioles are away. So I have like this 10-day gap.
Right,
but,
yeah.
I've stuffed a million things into it.
Right, exactly.
And so it's
speaking of that, we'll need to talk after the podcast about Saturday because Nicole has plans for the afternoon.
Oh boy.
So we'll have to figure that out. But yeah, so Ailey reached out to us, I think back in February. So plenty of time, you know, it was like, yeah, it'll be in June. I was like, oh great, June. We got tons of time. And I think we mentioned this last week as well on the podcast that like, it's not like we weren't doing anything, you know, we weren't just like waiting around, but like we've been filming videos nonstop like we do.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But we probably just should have done it before the like rehandling of the axe for Corinne.
Yeah,
you know,
we should have been working on the Corinne axe now.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Have that one done and ready to go. And
that was, see, that's another, we always underestimate the time it'll take us. That was another one. Hey, just handle an axe.
Yeah, it shouldn't take long at all.
Four shooting days later, we're wrapping it up. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, so, yeah, we had plenty of time. It's no one's fault but our own, and you know, and we'll get it done. It'll be fine. It's coming along. It's looking super nice. I'm super pumped. I'm really excited about it. The handle is a buffalo horn, which is really beautiful. It takes some doing to grind and buff it, so it looks really nice. But I know it's gonna look great when it's done. And it's getting there. It's exciting. But yeah, so we've been filming for the last couple of days and busting our butt and doing as much as possible. We was it Sunday? We did like 8.5 hours of forging and grinding and then heat treating and then into the temper. That was a long day, man. I was exhausted.
Yeah. That was after you got back from camping.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been camping and
after a weekend of camping, you kind of do just want to sit in the AC and relax and watch TV.
Right. Yeah, it was hot as shit too, like over the weekend. I was sweating the whole time. I was already, my like face was already raw from like wiping sweat off my face for like 2 days straight. And then all day just like by the forge, sweating, and then down in the shop, grinding with metal dust all over my face. I was like wiping, I kept wiping sweat off my face and just grinding the metal dust into my skin. I was like, yeah. Oh man.
That is dust. I'll give you props. And I think that's what's maybe, I guess, good about this. Well, having two brothers who get along, who have somewhat of the same, like yeah, calm, like temperament. Let's just get it done temperament.
Yep.
Because you don't complain about having to do it, and I don't complain. I don't think much about having to do it. It's just, I know you've worked a lot, and I know even after you come home from work all day and you still shoot, and it's always a yes. Like, hey, you want to shoot? It's pretty much always, yep, let's do it.
Yeah.
unless there is something already planned, but it's, it's just, we know we need to get it done. It's not. I mean, some of it is a lot of work, and we do like 8 hours of work after you come home from camping. That's tough, but it's still not that tough.
Right. Exactly. It's still something that we enjoy to do.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, it's brought us a lot of kickback on, you know, who we've met over the years, and you know, we're making a little bit of money off of it, and it's just still enjoyable. Yeah, exactly. It's not a hassle yet, and it's, you know, and we're still, you know, like this, we're in this kind of in between where there's this potential for it to keep growing and keep getting better and better, and then hopefully maybe be self-sustaining at one point and we can do it 100%, and you know, I can't imagine that being a bad thing if it happens. You know, it's like, cool, we get to hang out and like work in the shop, you know? And it's funny because I listen to some other podcasts and stuff, the Making It podcast, particularly where the main guys that are on that are the main talent for their channels, and their channels have grown over the years. And they two of them, Dave Picciuto and Bob Claggett, both have, you know, cameramen and stuff and editors and stuff that they've hired over the years to help out on their channel. And they talk often about getting into a situation where they don't have an idea for something to work on, or they don't have something to work on. And so then when they bring the guys over, they feel this responsibility to make sure they're doing something during this time that they're working. But that's because they're the boss, right? You know, it's their channel. They're paying their employees. And that's the one thing with you and I working together. We're both in it as much as we can be in it. You know, it's like, if you have free time and I have free time, well, let's work, you know, like let's do more because it's only our time and effort we put into it is only growing. We can see the growth, which is nice. You know, like if it never grew, we would probably do it less, you know, but with the growth there, we know that if we just stay consistent, and you know, we've kind of realized over the years that we can't put out a video every week, and you know, we'll put them out as often as we can. And I think once we've kind of gotten to that conclusion, like we're just going to film when we can, and we'll put them out as often as we can, but we're staying consistent, you know, like there might be a month where it's just one in the month, but usually it's one every couple of weeks, you know, like
I would say two and a half to 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Two a month is kind of about, you know, is what we can do. And I think, you know, as long as we keep doing that and just keep staying consistent, and if we can put out more videos at some point, then that's great. And if not, I think we just put them out when we can and try to stay consistent.
But, yeah, I would say if I had some advice to give, not everyone who has a brother or a family member who can do it for them. But if you do have someone you're close to or a buddy, just say, hey, do you want to do this channel with me?
Right.
We'll go 50-50. And then everyone's in it equal.
Right, exactly.
Right? It's straight down the line equal. And you both have the same to gain and the same to lose.
Right.
So don't I wouldn't pay someone to do it. I mean, you can if you have the disposable income, sure. But if you don't yet, or you're just starting, find a buddy or a friend or a family member, or even a son or daughter who's older who might be into that stuff, because they all shoot videos now all the time. So
right, exactly. Yeah, everyone does it anyway. So
if you help me do this, well, whatever comes from it, we'll do 50-50. It's your channel too.
Right,
and just. Yeah. And just give everyone equal parts to go forward, and then everyone has the same to gain or lose.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, and then everyone is invested 100%, right? Because it's theirs. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's their responsibility as much as it is your responsibility to make it work.
Right.
That one of the other people that I've heard mention this multiple times is Jeff Fader from Knife Talk podcast, from Fader Knives. His business partner, Tony, when he was getting into knife making, he reached out to his buddy Tony and was like, "Hey, I'm interested in doing this and I want to do it like full time. I want to get into it." And he asked him to basically be a part of it. Like, "I want you to go in with it together. Like, this is us together." You know, like, I don't know if they're 50-50. I don't know. He's never said specifically, but the way he talks about it, it's that intent. You know, it's like, "I want you to be a part of this business. We're going to work together. This is going to be our thing together. And if we put time and effort into it, then we can do it." You know, and like, Tony doesn't make knives, but he does everything else. Like,
right.
Jeff makes knives, right. And Tony does all the rest of it. You know, like, he does all the online stuff, the ordering, the bills, all that stuff. I'm sure they do a lot of it together still, but like, that it was that same thing. He knew that if he tried to get someone, if he just tried to hire someone to do it for him, then that person, and he had this experience through working in the food industry, you know, those people don't have nothing behind what they're doing to make them want to stay. You know,
right, it's no like skin in the game.
Just,
yeah.
Right. Exactly. If you're just like a line cook or you're just a busboy,
right,
like,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
no reason that you're going to, there's no reason to not quit and go somewhere else.
Right.
Right. But if you're in it and you know, if you put 100% in your time, then you could go somewhere and you could build something and it worked out for them pretty well.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. So, and in general, it's just, unless you get to a point where you're already making money and you know, you'll make thousands off of each video.
Right.
You cannot, I mean, a crew and a camera guy is expensive, really expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
But even if you paid a college kid, you'd still have to give him $100 to come over and do it. Or maybe not. Right. Maybe give him $50. But that adds up. That's hundreds of dollars per video just yeah, to right. have someone shoot it. So don't pay him anything and partner up.
Right, exactly. And then, yeah. And then, you know,
and then you split that first $100 you make after a yep. year. You each get $50 and you go, "Okay, cool. We finally got a payout and let's keep moving."
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then each month, like you said, each month you're both invested in mm-hmm. doing better and growing and getting a little bit more money each month. Mm-hmm. And yeah, yep, yeah. No, I think that's true. And I think, you know, and I think going back to the knife build, the Giotto challenge, they're building the community, like getting in with other people and spreading you the word, and all these things help to push you forward and make you accountable for something. Mm. You know, it's like being part of the challenge made us accountable for getting out a video on time, you know, mm. and doing something. So that's that, like, you know, you have to have, sometimes you have to have a deadline to get something done. And now, like right. I said, it's not like we were just not working and not filming videos for the last 3 months. We just put off this video right. till later. Like, we should have done it one, you know, like you said, we should have switched it with the axe video so that we would have worked mm-hmm. on the knife video last month. And then this month we'd work, or the beginning of this month, you know, and then now the end of the month we're working on the next video.
Right.
But you know, such is life. It's just, and you know, obviously it's the editing that takes time too. It's not just the making, right? Because we have plenty of time. I know that I could make something and I could, filming, but it's also us getting together and having, you know, the right schedule so we can both film, we can both come together, you know. Like, I didn't go sailing last night because I knew we needed to film, and so it was what it is. I was like, if it could have worked out that we would have both filmed tonight, I probably would have taken off sailing this week as well, you know. It's like, just,
yeah, you gotta do what you
gotta do, what you gotta
do.
Yeah
it, for me, it takes equal amount of days that usually I would say, well, probably more than the amount of days we shoot.
Right. To do
it. I mean, I don't have time to sit down for 8 hours and edit.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah. So if I say 4 days of editing, that's like four hour
right.
sit down, maybe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then usually the last night or the last day before that's a lot of times I'll say, "Okay, Dustin, we can get out by Sunday."
Right.
I'm like, "All right, this Sunday, Dust, we'll have it." And then it is a little, I'll, like, Friday and Saturday, I'll really push and
Right.
It's usually Saturday night. I'm still uploading or doing stuff, and I'm like, and it's usually dust. I'll have it ready for us to work on the thumbnail in the morning, so we can get it out by lunch.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's yeah. It's I don't know. It's a blast. It's just fun to be able to do it. I was talking to Sean tonight and just saying how like I'm like super grateful and also humbled and impressed with how many people that I know are like current knife makers and tool restorers and, you know, axe people who are doing that stuff full time now, or at least part time, because they've watched and learned from our videos.
Mm-hmm.
Like people tell me all the time, they're like, oh yeah, you know, you were an inspiration and you were the reason why I did that. I mean, I had people reach out on, you know, Instagram and on, you know, comments and stuff. And it's like, that's so cool, you know, or I'll see someone whose work I really like and I'll like one of their posts, and then they'll send me like a message and be like, oh man, you know, it means so much that you liked my post because, you know, I've learned so much from you over the years. And that's cool. Like it's really cool that now we have enough content built up that we've been doing this since 2017, that there are people now who have learned and seen stuff and have been inspired by the work that we do and have then progressed into like doing it as a hobby or doing it full time. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's just, like I said, it's like super humbling. And also I get a lot of pride from it, you know? Like,
yeah, no. And but really we also, cool. we constantly discuss how weird it is to know that there's so many people watching things. Or, yeah, I was talking right. to Dustin. I'm like, millions of people have seen your basement. Isn't that strange?
You just said that last night. I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of weird.
And it's just a strange, and there's so many YouTube. I mean, it's so huge.
Yeah,
but obviously,
right.
It's not just our thing, and we're relatively small, but there's so many channels that get so many views because it's global. It's really nuts. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
but what a great thing, and
yeah,
we're, and I we're think, gonna keep at it.
Yeah, right. I think your perspective early on that was like, hey, let's do it this way, and let's do it a little bit different than everyone else, or at least, you know, do it a little different than the majority, you know, the 90% that are just doing just the super basic, and let's see where it takes us, you know. And I think that has made our channel stand out a little bit. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the luck of, again, you do what you do and I do what I do, and I could you could see, I mean, there's not a lot of, I'm not like color grading and going into long, like,
right.
I'm not, some people have these beautiful, perfection video and they're great and they're really well done. So there's always improvement, but it's always the thing. Like when you see, if you go to school for something and then you see other people who maybe haven't or just doing it, I'm really glad that they're doing it. But immediately you see, like, hey man, 80% of these people, they're missing the basics. And it's kind of like, we're talking to Timothy Dick. He did bring up the point that he's been a blacksmith for so long. He sees all these people, which, like, some people are like us who are either beginner or intermediate or hobby makers.
Yeah.
Right. Who get so many views. So instantly he saw that and went, well, yeah, I do that stuff all the time. I can do that stuff with my eyes closed. And which was a great inspiration for him to start. So
yeah. Right. Why not film? Right. Why not do it? Because I can do it really well. Yeah.
And that's what we say every time we go, like we went to Brubaker Guitars, and we tell them, like, hey man, you need a YouTube channel Slaysman's Forge, man, this is so impressive. We always go to these full-time shops and meet these people who are doing it professionally. It's like, man, this, what you're doing is like YouTube gold.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Cause there's a lot of us out there doing it, but we're not pros, you know, we can't do it with our hands tied, you know, like,
yeah,
you should be recording this cause you guys are great.
Yeah, and like the people who are doing it, like I would say, like Torbjorn Arman, who's a blacksmith, he has a YouTube channel and he's doing great, and he has like such a just this really beautiful, really clean way of forging, and he does, you know, like kind of base, I mean not super basic, but like not super super complex forgings, and he just shows it, and he does it in this really nice style, and he's, you know, got tons and tons of followers. I mean, there's also, oh, what's his name? Shoot, I can't think of the other blacksmith right now, but it's just an older guy, and he does a good job because he's a good blacksmith, you know, and it's like not the highest quality, but he's got something to show that he's good at, and he's doing it a little bit better than other people. And that makes him stand out. You know, it's like the reason why I've always loved DiResta videos is because Jimmy DiResta is so smart. You know, it's like he's always coming up with this, like, something that seems so simple, but he knows the process to do it and put it together and film it all. And it's just time-lapse shots from different angles. So it's not cinematic. It's not super beautiful, but it's super smart. You know, you're like, there's something that he's got that he's showing that's different than other people. You know, he's not called the Godfather make for nothing, you know, like just, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Somebody. And if you do have a skill, don't be discouraged by whatever other perfect videos you see.
Right.
Cause it doesn't have to be that. It can be that, and you can get there pretty easily in my opinion. But, if you have a skill that, you know, back and forth, put it on YouTube. Cause why not? Or, you know, get someone to help you. And
And that's the great thing about YouTube too, is that once you put it there, it's there. It's just sitting there, you know, just collecting views. And it's like, you don't have to do anything. It's just sitting there, and it could potentially make you money down the road.
I think if there is quality there, you'll get views. It might not be crazy and you might not go nuts, but if you're really good at what you do, you'll get hundreds and thousands of views.
Right.
I think. And maybe not what, because everyone compare themselves to someone bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
If you and I have a huge video, right, it gets up the hundred thousands of views, closer to 1 million. Those are our biggest videos. But then there's people who get that every single video, and sometimes we get 10 or 5,000.
Right.
Like that's just, but that interaction with the community of maybe not makers, but, you know, people just watching YouTube videos like we're all doing, it's worth it, because you'll be, like we always say, you'll be excited about, like, you're as excited about your first 100 subscribers are you as the same amount as you are for like 1,000 and then 10,000.
Right, exactly.
Like you're equally excited at each time because it's something new and it's a milestone. But I'll always remember our first video. We put it up and I went camping and there was no cell service, and I came back and I think we had 600 views, and that blew my mind. I think I told everyone, I was like, just guess how many views this video, you know, and they'd be like, I don't know, 100. I'd be like, higher. 300 higher,
you know? Keep going.
823 views. And it was great. And we can't forget about that, because it's just as exciting.
Right.
And you get a million view video, or your first, you know, 100 or 1,000. And there's value to all that. We're not down talking anyone for having that. And maybe you stick around that area, and maybe we'll stick under 1 million views for everything. But
yeah,
it's fun to do.
Yeah, and I like occasionally to look at the we all look at the analytics, and, you know, look at what our channel's doing, and we compare to other channels and to ourselves from month to month. You know, we have good months and bad months. I always try to look at our like real-time views and just think about that in perspective, because like right now our real-time views for the last 2 days is 24,000 views. Like, that's crazy that 24,000 people clicked on our channel. And that's the thing about creating videos that are just sitting there, because that's not 24,000 views on one video, not the most recent video. That's 24,000 in the last 2 days of all of our videos. You know, people are searching all the time and finding videos. I mean, we have videos that, you know, are like our Bushcraft Axe video. That's just still raking in views because it's, you know, it did well and people find it, and they're just kind of just keep on sitting there and making, you know, just gaining views. And so I think that's kind of cool. And, but also that's also humbling. You know, you got to think about the people who are starting out and, you know, getting a couple thousand views or even like a couple hundred views a day and stuff. And it's just like, you know, all of that is in perspective. It's, if you want to do this, if you want to be in this kind of, you know, this realm of social media where you're putting yourself out there, do what you love to do. Don't try to be someone else, and don't try to do it for, well, I can't say don't do it for the views, because we're all doing it for the views, and we're all doing it really, like, it'd be, you know, the idea is like, yeah, it'd be great if I could do this and eventually make us some money, but it can't be all about that. It's got to be because you enjoy doing it.
Yeah, you have to enjoy, you know? But also it is getting a response.
Yeah, right.
Because if no one commented on our videos, we would probably stop making videos.
Right.
Yeah, right?
So. Maybe. Yeah, I guess.
So. If for some reason in the YouTube world, I mean, if that was common, fine.
Yeah, if it just stopped, right.
If it stopped and we did go back down to a couple hundred views, we would probably stop.
Right. No, I think you're right. Yeah, because it is the, like, we have a thing that's working, and it's building, and we're seeing this growth, and there are ups and downs, but it's growing, you know. So if it were to stop completely, and I think I don't think that's like a pride thing. That's all YouTube content creators. Anyone who's like relying at least partially on the income from making YouTube videos knows that there might be a time that it all just stops, and then you got to do something else, right? Because it's not a consistent bill. Like, yeah, if you have sponsors and stuff, but even sponsors, like, they want the views. You know, they're not sponsoring channels for fun. You know, no one's putting a commercial on a TV channel for fun. They're putting it there because they know people are going
to
see it.
No matter what they say to you, they don't care about your channel.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
We really love what you're doing. Insert name here, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Maybe the CEO of the company might like what you're doing, right? Because it's their idea of the company. It's a company that's doing something like
that. But the ad workers and the middlemen, they don't care. Exactly. They care about the number.
Their job is to look, to bring in the numbers, figure out who's making, who's growing, who has views, and then how much money to pay them to put something up on their channel.
Yeah. So before we move on to Dear Dustin, I wanted to, since we keep talking about how we're happy we've inspired people, a few of the people in this knife build off, if you could switch to that, Dust, talk about those guys who you've watched and now you're competing against.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so, there have been a few, like, I'll start with Brian House, because Brian House has really inspired me a lot. And it was, we found out originally about Brian because he was actually following along with our Knife Talk Build Along series and was posting on Instagram, and then reached out to me to ask if I wouldn't mind if he uses my knife design from our build in his, he was doing a series as well on his YouTube channel. So we like became friends, and then again, you know, I started watching his stuff and getting tons of inspiration by his, like, the way he makes his videos and his push for like content and how diligent he is. And then also, you know, it was through his connection that we, you know, he reached out to us and said, like, you know, have you guys ever thought about doing a podcast? I think you'd be really good on it. And then he recommended that to Craig Lockwood, that he reach out to us when Craig asked him, like, is there anybody you think would have a good podcast to be in the Makery Network? So it's definitely like a cycle of inspiration there. So definitely got to shout out Brian. You know, another person like Redbeard Ops, like, I'd been watching Redbeard Ops for quite a while and learning some stuff from him, and also just kind of sometimes feeling like that we were kind of on the same path, you know, like his channel is more about knife making than ours is, but, you know, I could see that he was growing and his shop kind of looked like ours, and like he would do different things and he would get a new tool and then build with that. And I kind of had this same, like, I felt like our momentum was kind of cruising at the same speed. Now we're ahead of him in subscribers, but in the content and the way that he's been like building his channel felt really, really similar to ours. And then someone like Green Beetle, who I've been watching for years, and he's part of the Giotto build along or the Giotto challenge, whatever. I mean, I've loved his channel, and he's like, he's got this super dry humor and this really funny, like, 80s, 90s reference humor. And I don't know, just seems like this kind of a goofy guy and maybe a little nerdy, but also just super funny and super dry and a really good knife maker. And also, he doesn't have, like, a crazy shop that is designed for knife making, right? It's like he did tons of stuff with different crazy Damascus, like nails and screws and like the little springs that come off when you're drilling out metal and stuff. And he's just like always throwing it into like into canisters and just making shit and just making Damascus. And he just heat it up in the forge and just hammer it out, doing it all by hand. Like now he's got a press and he's kind of like, he's getting better at it and doing more, but like, it's just, it always felt really attainable. You know, it's like, something that he was doing that other knife makers could do, because he just felt like a normal dude, like a normal guy that was kind of funny and kind of goofy and just around our age and made the same references. And it's just always cool. So I've always really liked Green Beetle. It's funny that he's part, not funny, but it's a good friend of mine, my buddy Sean, who I talked about was sales with us and stuff. His channel is Crafting a Life I Want. He actually participated in a competition that Green Beetle was doing at the beginning of last year with, or maybe, you know, maybe right around 2019, 2020 switchover with Knife Print. He was sponsored by Knife Print. And so he was doing some stuff with Knife Print and he had a bunch of knives that were cut out that he was doing a giveaway. I forget what the main prize was, but the secondary prizes were a knife blank, an ADCR V2 knife, you know, kind of just the cutout of a knife. So Sean won one of those from Green Beetle, which is kind of cool. So Green Beetle has been a huge inspiration for me watching his channel and his knife builds and stuff over the years. And then Blackbeard Projects as well. You know, he's got tons of followers and he's, you know, has I think over 2 million subscribers on his channel, but he too, has, I don't know, just something about the way he builds stuff. It's always just like, I don't know, maybe there's some type of like humbleness to a lot of these makers that just feels like they're just normal people. You know, they're not, maybe that's the difference. Like maybe they're not professionals who are filming. Maybe they're just people like us who just really enjoy making stuff. And you can tell because like Blackbeard Projects put out a arm mounted gun.
Crossbow.
Crossbow. Bow and arrow like an gun. Arm. Yeah, right. An arm mounted triple crossbow that he made. Like it's like on a bracer. You like holding your arm and you can shoot three arrows from three crossbows. Like how fucking cool is that? You know, like, and it's just like stuff like that. But and then he'll make like a knife. You know, and then he'll make something else random like.
Until you go to scratch your nose and you pull the trigger and you got three shots into the side of your temple.
You know, tell the guys from Assassin's Creed that, you know, like, I hope you're rolling on that stuff. Yeah. Right.
Got the footage. It's gold.
This is gold. YouTube gold, Jerry.
I shot myself in the head. Oh, you won't believe how bad it hurt.
there's your sensational thumbnail right there. No, but not, you know, it's clickbait. Just like, yeah, just doing fun stuff, like just making grinders and doing knife stuff and doing metalwork and woodwork and whatever comes to mind, you know?
I was going to say, we need to come up with more competitions, because if we can reach out to these people, stroke their ego a bit and get them to do a competition with us,
right.
maybe we should do it more, because...
Yeah,
like hanging an axe or
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We could do a bow challenge. There's not that many people.
There you go. Oh, man. Hey, there you go. I like it. Maybe we'll do that. Reach out to, I know a couple of bow makers on YouTube. Okay.
Yeah, we've had one on.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. Clay, who's actually, he's in the show Alone. Was it on Discovery or something or whatever that is? This season, he's out, or not now,
what?
But he was. He was on Alone.
Was
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I'm super pumped. Yeah, exactly.
Was he on it after we had him on? No, before.
It must have been before. Because we didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we won't spoil anything. Oh, I wish I would. I mean, he couldn't really say much about that. I wish I would.
No, yeah, because he didn't post it. Like, he posted on Instagram, I'd say, within a month, like a couple weeks ago. Right. He's like, I couldn't say anything about this, but now I can say because it's coming up. But he was talking about how... he's, you know, he's never really been like a big fan of reality shows and stuff, especially like the different survival shows and things. But Alone's great. You said this one was like really real. Like it was just them out with cameras and they had to survive. That was it. Like, this is a real thing. It's not like, of course the producers build up the drama and they there's only so much footage they can put on every episode, but but he said it was like, it's real. And then he put up this crazy scene of like, I think it was him. Like, I want to say it was him, but when he showed the person, it didn't look like him. So I don't know, but I thought it was him. A scene of him where he's like, kind of close up, the camera's close up on him near the fire and he's doing whatever, he's like, and he hears this like stuff and you see him all kind of getting nervous and looking out into the bush and he's like, I heard something, you know, there's something out there. And then he like turns the camera and literally like 40 feet away from him is like a full grown mountain lion, like looking at him, like just at night, you know, like standing, looking straight at him, you know, just like a lot of cougar mountain lion, just looking like it's crazy.
A lot of people in that show have been, they'll quit after they hear stuff. And I'm always, well, me sitting at home, you know, with my wife drinking a beer, I'm like, you know, animals are going to be out there. Why are you getting freaked out while you're in your tent? You have your bear mace next to you.
Right.
If it starts clawing through your tent, you'll know. And if you spray anything in the face with that mace, it's going to take off.
Right, exactly.
That's just how it is. Yeah. So, but if I was out there and hearing those things
all alone,
I'd have a different feeling. But
Sean and I were talking about it. He and Kate watched the fourth season, which is actually the team season. So it was two people together, like couples and friends and stuff. They just started watching season one and he was watching. He was like, yeah, he's like, one guy quit because he lost his fire steel. And I was like, that was Joe Robinette.
Yeah.
I love Joe Robinette. I was like, yeah. And like, cause like Joe talked about it on his channel. He did a video of like, why I had to drop out, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, he lost his only way to make fire. You know,
it's funny like, about that. When I had started watching the show, I'd heard about Joe through you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's this guy, Joe Robinette, that Dustin likes. And he's a YouTuber, blah, blah, blah. I was like, cool, let's watch him. And he was on there and he was a likable person on the show. Like some of them are annoying, just like any reality show, and some are likable. And I was like, oh, he's cool. I was like, the second episode, he lost his ferro rod. And he was out. I was like, what?
I thought
he was going to be like the winner. You know, yeah, I was like, here we go. I'm going to watch this guy who's such a big YouTuber. He must have done something. It was pitiful.
And that was like his reasoning. I can't remember what he said. He did a video specifically. Like once he could talk about it, he did a video on like why, you know, the reason behind it, why he had to quit out. And it was like where he was in Vancouver Island, I think, is like so wet and you have to have fire. And he has enough experience in bushcrafting and, you know, camping and stuff. He's like, he just made a reasonable, realistic decision. And like, there's no way I'm going to do this. There's no reason for me to like be here for another, you know, 20 days or whatever. Just trying to struggle.
I feel like some people, but also the way they edit it seemed like he dropped it. And then after the commercial break, he was leaving. He could have sat there for a day and a half stewing.
Right. Of course.
And thinking and meditating on it and
searching,
trying to figure out what he was doing. And he got hungrier and hungrier as we're watching it, another big thing is people, when they're alone and there's not the team seasons, people do get lonely and they come home because they miss their wife and kids.
Yeah, right.
And so I look over at my wife and she shakes her head. She's like, if you ever come home after something like that because of me, I'm going to kick you back outside.
Don't you blame me for that shit.
Yeah, that's don't so pull funny. This. Oh, kid, I need my... I'm missing their, you know, their...
she looked at you like, mm-mm.
She was like, don't even dare. You don't even need to put that on your plate. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, that's great. But yeah, that's what...
Don't miss out of 100 grand because you miss me.
You better suck it up.
Yeah, I don't care. She's like, I'll be fine.
I'm here chilling. I'm cool.
We've already decided you're going out. Don't come home because you miss us. All right.
That's funny. Yeah, they The reason why we started talking about this is because of Clay, but he like he took a bow that he made and he had it like the whole time with him. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like there's nothing yet. I think it's actually the season's maybe out now for him, but yeah, that'd be interesting to like. I really want to see that, and I don't know what I forget what it's on, but it's not something that I have on regular TV or with like, you know, what I have for HBO Max.
And, I think there's some on Netflix and stuff. And,
yeah, I'll have to look it up. But it's interesting. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I would love to have him on again and try to do it with. I mean, he's got a limited whatever the mic the for whatever reason we couldn't get the internet to work well.
Right. Yeah.
That was not a good way to do it. It just didn't work. It felt. I mean, it was great to have him on. I think it was a good episode, but it was just tough for me. I was like on my phone, like it was a speaker phone, you know, we were all using it. Was like,
yeah,
it
right,
felt like,
exactly.
It felt more like a Zoom meeting. There were like breaks and stuff. I'd love to have him on again, talk about that and
do it
a little better.
Yeah, I think he's out in Idaho now. Like he spends half the year in Idaho and half the year in Florida, I think it is. I could be wrong on this. I know it's Florida and I think it's Idaho, but he's out there now because he's been posting on Instagram about like his son, Finn or Koi, I can't remember which one, but they had some pictures about them turkey hunting and they got like a big tom on the last day, but they're out nice. There. So maybe he has better internet out there. I'll have to reach out to him. But yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, that's my those are my inspirations. All those guys, everybody, and like, and now that I know these other guys, I wanted to say this real quick before we move on. But like okay, now I know that Ailey Knives and Tyrone Knifeworks, and I follow all of them now. Faraway Forge and Sperber Knives, like those guys are awesome. And actually, I'll talk more about Sperber at the end, but he's my recommendation this week. We'll get into him, but yeah, it's really cool seeing all their work now and seeing how they. There's just so much inspiration when you can relate to somebody. You're like, oh, this person's kind of doing the same thing I'm doing. Then all of a sudden, there's like a whole different level of inspiration. You're like, oh, if this person, who's a normal person, if they can do it, why can't we do it?
You know, this like, nerd.
Yeah, right. They can do it. Jeez.
Now that you called Green Beetle a nerd, he's gonna angrily whoop your ass in the knife challenge.
He knows he's a nerd.
Dang! It's shots fired again.
Not something I'm saying that's unheard of.
Well,
he plays it up on his channel. I love.
I'll say the farther from
Steve,
13,
I love you.
The farther from 13 years old you get, the word nerd is a compliment.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
It's an intimidating part of you that you know something so well. Like when you meet a real intense person and they know like something about a subject hardcore,
right?
You're like, yeah, this guy, he's a hardcore nerd about this.
Yep. And then I'm like, thank you. Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Dear Dustin. All right. Chris Fortner says, Dear Dustin, isn't the forge awfully close to the house? He's talking about the new Sadie Smithy. He's wondering, is your forge in the
too
position
close to
now?
The house.
Too close, man.
I don't think it's too close to the house. I've, after lighting the forge a couple times, and feeling like even the post, the back coat, the post that's closest to us, that's part of the actual smithy, gets barely warm at all. You know, and I have the back of the forge closed off right now, but I will say that the forge is on wheels. Like the whole cart is on wheels. Now the wheels don't work great
out in
the gravel, but it can
be moved. It's half buried in gravel.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you know, if I needed to open up the back of the forge to actually put a longer blade through and be able to heat it up all the way, then I would just roll it, like pull it up out of the little divots that it's in right now and just roll it out away from the house a little bit more.
And
it's plenty far away. I think it might be 3.5 or 4 feet away from the wall of the house. And it's barely, like I said, the post that's right behind it, that's only 1.5 feet from it, barely gets warm.
And he's a subscriber, so thanks, Chris.
Absolutely.
It's funny when you look on the PC version of the YouTube studio thing, you can see who subscribes and not. And I'm really surprised sometimes about people go through this long, like, talking back and forth and like, this is great, love the videos, blah, blah, and they're not subscribers. I'm always a little like, you took the time to comment and you're not like, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, the only, like, with subscribing, like, I have no problem subscribing to channels.
Well, that's, yeah, we know that now.
Like, yeah, the one hesitation I have for subscribing to something or following someone on Instagram is that then it's just more people in my feed. So I miss a lot. Mm. I miss things from people because I can't see everything. So if I follow, like, I follow, you know, 250 or 300, I forget what it is, people on Instagram. And so that's all the feed. Now, the same thing really with, like, with YouTube is the more people you're subscribed to, the more people are showing up in your subscriber list as you're looking to see who's new videos are there.
But with YouTube, there's more of a, you know who you like.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And yeah.
You're not just looking at pictures. You're actually invested, right? Yeah. So, like, you know, okay, I like this channel, so, like, I'll search out. You know, you, like, I don't have to wait to see, like, a Wrangler Start video or a Tested video or, like, a Joe Robinette video pop up. Like, I'll look at there. I'll be like, I'll look through my list and I'll click on their name and see what they've done because I want to see.
There's a number of channels that I just go to.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Even if I didn't get an alert or whatever, there's no bell. I just know, all right, I'm going to go to whatever. I'm going to go to this one. I'm going to go to Tested. I'm going to go to Meat Eater. I'm going to go to these channels because I know.
Right.
I just want to see. But yeah. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Dear Dustin, Ryan B. says, hey, this is a great video. I picked up a new truck. This is a little fragmented. Pounding the wedge in with the handle upside down for even weight distribution. Genius. What was that scraping tool you used to remove varnish and whatnot? Now he's talking about an axe video.
Right. Okay. So, flipping the handle upside down and hammering on the back. Was he talking about setting the wedge in that way?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Pounding the wedge in.
Right. So instead of hammering on the wedge, which the reason why I don't do that is because I have done it in the past and the wedge will split. Now you can also split the wedge or you can mar the wedge by doing it upside down. But if you do it upside down and you put that weight on something, you're doing two things at once. One, you're setting the wedge in deeper and you can usually set it, you know, so that way it's on a nice flat surface and you hit it and you get a good, like, even hit. It's less likely to split it. But what you're also doing at the same time is that you are seating the axe head on the handle tighter every time you hit it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only putting the wedge in, but it's putting the wedge in and tightening the head on the handle. The same way that when you actually seat the head on the handle, you flip it upside down and you hang it that way. That way that, like, mass is pushing, you know, you're pushing the wood down through the mass, instead of trying to, like, get the mass to go the opposite direction. So it's doing two things. It's seating that wedge nice and deep, but it's also hammering that head at the same time further up onto the handle. So that's why I do that. I learned that from Liam Hoffman. That's where I learned that from.
There you go. And the last thing is a cabinet scraper. And there was
yes.
Someone replied to it because Dustin hasn't got back to him yet. But this was only a day ago, so fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair play there.
Honestly, though, I actually did see that comment, and I didn't.
Oh, boy.
I probably was, like, scrolling when I was in, like, teaching or something. Like, you know, my students were, like, doing something, you know, virtually, and I'm just, like, scrolling through, looking at comments. But, yeah, so that's a cabinet scraper, which is, you can use kind of anything that has a sharp edge. You can use a knife. You can use a piece of glass. But the cabinet scraper is nice because it's actually designed to kind of burnish it flat and then or to file it flat and then burnish it, and what it does, it creates two burrs on either side of the metal, so you actually create this little, like, hook that takes a ton of wood off, so it's really nice. So I love now, using cabinet scrapers.
Matt responded under it for you, MAT. He said cabinet scraper, what was used before sandpaper was invented.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it just basically cuts, you know, it cuts like a thin, it's like a miniature version of a plane. So a hand plane just used to cut the fibers of the wood. And you can use that to scrape or push or pull. And that does the same thing. It cuts the fibers and makes it nice and smooth. So it definitely can do that and leave a really nice finish too. If you decide to not sand. I always use it, and I always use that. I use cabinet scrapers to scrape the varnish off. I use them to shape the handle, and I also use them to scrape off the tool marks from files. But then I always come behind it, at least for axe handles, and sand afterward.
Right. Okay, Blue Sky 284 says, Dear Dustin, question. Where did you learn to do all this stuff, the craftsmanship? I did a little back in high school in the 60s, and that was pretty much it. At 72 years old, it's still working. Are you retired? He's a little... okay. Your explanation of what is done helps immensely. Is this just a hobby or your job? Just asking. Now, we've obviously discussed about this, but
yeah.
I guess the main thing is, where'd you learn all your stuff? Because the old school is... these older guys, yeah, it's either you knew someone or you had like a few classes in high school and that was it, or you decided to read books yourself and get things done.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, there's only so much that you can do with a smaller, I would say smaller in quotes, with a small reach, you know, before social media and before YouTube. I mean, so much of what I learned, the answer to this question, is that I've learned a ton from watching other people on YouTube, whether that's really nice channels that do something all the time, or like, you know, back when I first got my truck, I had to change out the alternator. So I looked on YouTube and figured out, I searched, you know, 1989 Ford F-150 alternator change and saw someone do it. You know, like there's this incredibly complex and thorough source of information. Now we have an encyclopedia of information online that just seems like it's silly not to use it if you like making things. But that being said, I also love getting books and reading about stuff and, you know, and going to forums and talking to other people and meeting people and learning tricks and things from people who do it, you know, like, I don't know, just different people around me who have different skills. You know, I see things and I learn things from people and just watching. So I've kind of picked up a lot of stuff, but I think it's also my inclination as a maker, you know, like we've said before, and I think you coined the term the maker switch, which I think is just so awesome. Once you start making things and you realize you enjoy it, then you decide to keep going. So no, I'm not retired. I have a full-time job. I wish eventually I could retire from my full-time job and just make things. We make the videos because we love doing it, and we do it on our free time, basically. Keep learning things because I want to know how to make it myself. You know, most of the things that I've made are just because I enjoy those things like knives and axes and old tools. They're things that I'm drawn to automatically, but then I also really like the fact that they are something that's designed to be used, something that I can do that's purpose built. So I like that. I like being self-sufficient and being able to make things and do things myself.
I'm going to do in that vein, I'm going to do a Dear Dustin right now from me. Right. Devin O'Hara says, Dear Dustin, if you were to make a Maker Switch t-shirt with an actual light switch on it, what would the top say and what would the bottom say?
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Thanks, Devin, for that one.
Ooh, I like that. Maybe we shouldn't say this on the podcast. Steal it.
Someone's going to come out with a Maker Switch t-shirt.
I know, you son of a bitch.
I'll tell you my immediate thought. I had two thoughts. It was either you put make it at the top or buy it on the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Or do it at the top or don't on the bottom. Something like that.
Mm, yeah, I like that. Or like...
Or build it or buy it, maybe. Like, build it up top, buy it.
I wonder if you do, like a doer at the top and, like, don'ter at the bottom.
Or loser.
Yeah, right.
Doer and loser.
Or, like,
a don'ter.
Self-sufficient and, like, I don't know, something else. I don't know, yeah. you don't want it to be like condescending, but right. I like the doer and don'ter. That's funny. No, I like make it or buy it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cause I think that is what it is. I think people get to this point where they see something, they're like, oh, I could buy that from someone. And sometimes you do buy it, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I want to buy that cause I want to support this person, or it's not worth my time. I know I could make it, but this person's going to make it for a lot cheaper, this company, and then I'm going to be able to have it and then make something else with it. That's kind of my mindset, I guess. But yeah, I like it. That's kind
yeah, of maybe cool. Maybe that's our next t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh,
just a big picture, kind of a sideways shot of a light switch, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so you get like the 3D switch coming out and it's flicked up towards make it.
Yeah. And on the bottom it says buy it. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And then like maybe on the back, it's like, you know, like when, yeah, or something like, get your maker switch now, or like, or like, when did you flip on your maker switch or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
right.
Maybe that's too like catchy or something, too like slogany. I don't know.
Or turn it on or something.
Yeah. Right. Turn it on. It's funny. While we're throwing other makers under the bus, like I did for Green Beetle, calling him a nerd. Brian House, I think I've talked to him about this before. Like he does a lot of slogany type stuff on his channel. He'll be like, screw it, let's do it. You know, he's got like the good voice for it, but sometimes he does have that voice. I'm like, you know, like maybe you're pushing a little too hard, but you know, but I mean something like Work For It, you know, like that's his podcast and name, and that's like I think that's definitely caught on. I think that's the thing. I think that's one of those things that I was always inspired by, is like his dedication to like push try to develop a following based off of what you're doing, you know, like those type of slogans and things. They can catch on, and they once they do catch on, then you're like, oh, you know, I've been saying this type of thing forever.
Right. If you're don't like a certain thing, people might not like the maker switch thing that we always bring up, but you do think about it like later on, it works just like a catchphrase should work. It's kind of weird. Like when you hear it, like, it's funny. I was, just starting to watch some cartoons with my daughter, cause she's starting to pay attention to it. We were watching Magic School Bus, and there's like three or four sayings that they put in every episode. Right. It's these little corny catchphrases that all this, I remembered all of a sudden. I heard them. I was like, oh yeah, that guy always says like, oh, I should have stayed home today. And, or, or the one girl's like, in my old school, we would never, you know, it was like all these catchphrases, but they stuck with me. They work.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's funny.
Okay. All right. The last one, Omar Rivetti says, "Dear Dustin, have you ever made a horizontal sheath? If not, can you make a video? I'm sorry. I'm Italian. Sorry for the translation."
Okay. I guess the answer to that question would be yes and yes. Yes, I have made one, and yes, we can also make one.
Yeah,
now that'd be cool. I think that's one of those things that's definitely, it's not super different than making a regular sheath. Instead of having a belt loop at the top that holds your sheath vertical, you do two belt loops that wrap around the sheath, so that way it can hold it horizontal. Now you could do like a thick belt loop. The idea is that you want something wider because it has to keep it in that horizontal position.
Yeah.
I actually made one for my oldest brother, Derek, years ago when I first started making knives. I made him a kind of a miniature version of the tracker knife, which, funny enough, when we talked to James Keaton from Redbeard Ops, he said that was the first time he made a knife was because he was inspired by the movie The Hunted with Benicio del Toro and Tommy Lee Jones. And he makes the tracker knife. The knife they talk about in that movie is the tracker knife. So I made a version of that. It was like the third knife I ever made for my brother Derek. And I made the sheath that you can get aftermarket, not from like Tops. Tops makes the knives, but there's another company. It's, I forget what it's called, Beer or something or whatever, but they, you can get the horizontal carry sheath, which is the one that, like, I guess Tom Brown likes or something. I'm not sure, but, and it's worn like horizontally across the back, across your belt in the back. And it has a, like an elastic thumb opening strap that wraps around the handle. So that way you can kind of reach back. You can pop it with your thumb and draw the knife out. So I made that sheath based off of the one that you could get for the Tracker. So it was pretty cool. That was like one of the earliest sheaths that I made. So it was a pretty complex sheath for doing it. It didn't have the elastic strap part, but it did have like the Tom Brown, the little, it's like a little button catch that you like push through the leather. So it had that. And the horizontal straps and yeah, it turned out really good. But I wouldn't mind making another horizontal carry knife sheath, because those are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And there are some, you know, one of the people that I've seen wear something like that fairly often is Bear Grylls from Man vs. Wild. For like many, many seasons, he would have his knife and he'd wear it right along his belt in the front, like between like his button and like his first, you know, pocket on either side. And he'd carry it horizontal there instead of carrying it on his hip.
Bear Grylls.
Cool. Bear Grylls.
Stay in hotels.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? He also, you know, hiked to the top of Everest without oxygen. So he didn't stay in a hotel then.
I don't believe it.
He got helicoptered in.
Just another British show trying to butt in on our good North American TV. We never steal any of their stuff, right?
No, of course not. Jeez.
Recommendations. I'll start. There's some podcasts I listen to regularly, and most of them aren't maker stuff. I don't ingest as much as Dustin does on that. I do a lot of different stuff. Obviously there's like Joe Rogan and stuff. He has good people on. But I like, there's a comedian, he's huge, but his name's Theo Vaughn, and his podcast is This Past Weekend. His stand up is okay, but he is genius on podcasts. Like flow of consciousness, I think that's what they call it, right? Yes. When it just comes and it streams
of consciousness, right?
And it just goes and goes. It's kind of like, again, go back to like Jack Kerouac, the way he would write. He would just go and write and write and write. And he famously would have a scroll of paper on his typewriter, so it would never end. And by the end, he would have this 40-foot thing. But anyway, but the way he creates jokes and says things is so unique and so funny. I remember thinking, like, when I first started listening to him, it's so strange to hear someone so different at first, but then I was laughing out loud a lot in my car. And that's, you know, usually there's people you like or comedians, but you're not always just like cracking up, dying laughing in your car by yourself and with him. Yeah, he's great. So again, he doesn't need our recommendation, but for you guys, if you want a good like comedy podcast, he has some guests, but he's mainly he'll just talk about anything and just flow with it. And he's so smart and really good. And he's one of the only people who can rock a mullet. And he just has it, and people always bring it up. He's like, I don't know, it's just a long hairstyle. He's from the South anyway. He's like, you know, this is how people wear it sometimes. But no, he's great. Check it out.
It's a long hairstyle. Nice. Cool. Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn.
So, yeah, my recommendation is Raphael from Sperber Knives. He is one of the competitors in the knife, the Giotto knife build off, YouTube maker build off. And check him out on Instagram. He's got some really nice stuff. He's a young maker, 24 years old from Germany. Sperber, Sperber _ knives, KNIVES. Yeah, really awesome knife maker. And he's done some really cool Damascus patterns, some really cool like feather patterns and chef's knives and a couple axes here and there. And just really nice stuff. I was really impressed by his work for the challenge, and I think it's going to look really nice. And then just, you know, his work in overall, just really good stuff. So check him out on Instagram. Again, that's Sperber_knives, and give him a follow. He's a good knife maker.
Nice. Yeah. So we'll have, I mean, this will, when you guys are listening to it, we will be still editing and working on the knife video.
Yep.
But it will come out June the 4th, right?
Yep. Friday, again. June 4th. Yep.
Friday, so June 4th. They'll all drop probably around noonish. Yep. And yeah, I'm going to be watching them all. I'm excited to be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I just want to finish it. It's very stressful right now to try to get it all done, but we will for sure. Yeah. And yeah, it will be nice. And, so look forward to that. And then next podcast, we'll talk all about it. And hopefully we're talking about maybe getting the winner on, or some, maybe all these guys, all these knife makers, we'd love to talk to them all. So,
Absolutely.
Hopefully that's coming up in the next couple months. We'll talk to a bunch of these guys and get their viewpoints on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be fun. And yeah, I'm excited. Just like you said, I'm excited to get it done. And I am really excited to watch the videos, because there is that, we have this type of camaraderie now that we've all done the same thing. We've all pushed through the same challenge. So you're really interested in seeing, because all of us that are doing it, we're also thinking about everyone else that's doing it. Like, does my design stand out? What does it look like? Or should I think about that? Or should I just do my own thing? You know, like, so we're all having these same thoughts. So it'd be really cool to see other people's builds and see what they talk about in their videos. And, you know, just, yeah, it's interesting. I'm excited to watch them, and I'll definitely be doing that next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. It's been a blast. We really appreciate it. We will have a bunch of guests lined up, a bunch of people who've been reaching out, and I've reached out to a few people, and we have some good makers and people in the community coming up, which should be really fun. So keep your eye out for that. We will be posting information about who we have each week. I always try to post on Friday as it comes out. I try to put a post up on Instagram, just kind of giving you a heads up of who's on the podcast or what we're talking about. So you can always check us there on Friday and then give us a listen. And then if you want to support the channel, you can always support us over on Patreon. And you know, you can also support us by just sharing the podcast and telling your friends about us and getting some other people to listen. That makes a big difference. Go find us on YouTube, The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can follow us both on Instagram, The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy. And you can always listen to us here. It's been a pleasure so far, and we'll keep on going. Devin, I'll talk to you again. And everybody else, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you guys next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.